She's not always been sure of where she's going, but that's been the point of her own personal pilgrimage. For years now, Christina Nielsen has enjoyed the freedom of defying other people's expectations by making her way in an RV with her faithful dog and cat to explore the wilderness trails and back roads of the American West. Before settling in on her own land in the high desert a ways out of Tucson, Christina made Taos in New Mexico her base for exploring that state's remarkable natural settings. She ventured from petroglyphs to tribal communities to shrines and sanctuaries from a variety of spiritual traditions. She also encountered places where scientists are observing the mysteries of deep space and where others developed the nuclear bomb. Christina photographed and wrote up 88 such destinations in her book, New Mexico's Sanctuaries, Retreats, and Sacred Places. Christina, thanks for being with us today on Travel with Rick Steves.
Thank you. My pleasure, Rick.
New Mexico really is a unique place in that regard, isn't it? What is it about New Mexico?
I think the thing that strikes me most strongly is, you know, New Mexico is an interesting place because its history came from the South, as opposed to much of the United States, where the history came from the East. You know, we have the Spanish and the Mexican forces coming up into New Mexico and pretty much making contact with the Native Americans. And that was sort of the genesis of this book. When I started to do it, I found that the sanctuary part of this book was primarily, of course, Hispanic and Spanish. The sacred places were the Native Americans. And so you had those two forces coming together. And then the other part of the book, the retreats, was, not surprisingly, the Anglo, the white people that came in as a third wave.
So, Christina, I think you nailed it there. When we think about a lot of the United States, it's the westward movement. And then when we think about New Mexico, we're thinking about spillover from Spanish culture moving up from Spain and how that overlays with the indigenous cultures. Would that contribute to the fact that there's so much that has a sort of a sacred and a spiritual dimension for sightseeing in New Mexico?
Absolutely. One of the things that New Mexico demands is that you recognize this rich overlay of landscape in proximity to these different cultures. And that's what makes it so fascinating for me in terms of when you're crossing that landscape.
Now, you've got 88 places that you recommend in this one state in your guidebook, and in New Mexico, you can be all alone in a vast and an immense desert. What is that like in New Mexico?
Oh, well, you know, when you are out there in the wide open spaces, I like to think as landscape is something that feeds the soul. It opens us up to our senses in ways that are very, very different from when we are in a more civilized place. And again, in New Mexico, you have these intermixes. You have the mix of the Spanish, the Hispanic, and the Native American. Those rituals are placed upon the landscape, and you cannot be in one locale in New Mexico without being vibrantly aware of the other forces. For instance, let me give you an example. If you go to Three Rivers Petroglyphs, it's a place that has 21,000 petroglyphs in this very, very nondescript place, and suddenly you walk up on this hill and you are surrounded by petroglyphs that are drawings that are made by chipping the stone as opposed to drawing on it.
Okay, and how old would those be?
These would be thousands of years old. So you have 21,000 of those. Then you walk a little further down the road and you walk into a little chapel, again, that's nondescript. I just happened to find it. This is the way I did this book, sort of following my nose. And you walk into this chapel called Santo Niño de Atocha. So right there you have the Native American, and then suddenly you walk into this Hispanic chapel that is one of the most amazing little chapels I have been in anywhere in the world in terms of all of the ornamentation inside. And it is devoted to San Onino de Atocha, which is a little saint of the unjustly imprisoned or those that are hit with divine illness.
So you're saying that there's what we've got is this sort of a rich overlay of a previous culture and then another culture and putting their spiritual spots in the same place.
You do.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Christina Nielsen and her books New Mexico's Sanctuaries, Retreats, and Sacred Places. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Diane's on the phone from New Mexico in Santa Fe. Diane, thanks for your call.
Hi. I've lived here in New Mexico quite a while, and I make it a point to go up to the various pueblos. Our Pueblo Indians were unconquered, really, by the Spanish when they came north from Mexico. And as a matter of fact, they threw the Mexicans out for about 90 years until they resettled the state. And when you go to the pueblos, particularly for Christmas dances and things of that kind, you see that the Christianity that is being practiced in the little churches is really heavily influenced by the native culture. And I'm interested if you found instances of how one culture has influenced another and changed the expression of the sacred.
Well, absolutely. There had to be an integration, you know, eventually. With the Pueblo Revolt, of course, I think is what you're referring to, in 1680, when the Native Americans overthrew the Spanish that had been coming in and doing some pretty disastrous things to their culture. In the next 10 to 15 years, the Spanish came back, but it was a very different integration at that point. And the Native Americans did allow Christianity onto their pueblos. What I observed that was most fascinating was the side-by-side approach. If you go to the Taos Pueblo on New Year's Eve, it's one of the most fascinating things you'll ever see. It starts with the Mass in their little chapel. And then suddenly they come outside and they're carrying the Virgin. There are Native Americans with guns in the beginning. This happens at sundown. There's a procession that goes through the Pueblo. And suddenly you begin to get this Armageddon feeling. The sun is going down. The rifles are going off to protect the Virgin. They have lit huge bonfires all around the Pueblo, which are smoking and firing. They're volcanic. Some of these are over two stories high. And you are immersed in this scene that is overpowering. And that, to me, is one of the best metaphors for what you're talking about, this integration.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because it is the most remarkable thing, and it's so original and authentic. I mean, it's just astounding. You come out of that church, and you're confronted with a two-story high bonfire, mm-hmm. and these rifles that are being fired are more than 100 years old. It's just a remarkable ceremony, and it is the combination of both cultures that makes New Mexico such a special place, I think.
Diane, yes. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Christina, when we're talking about the places to see in New Mexico, you mentioned so vividly walking through deep and rocky canyons and wading on broad and narrow waters. Take us there just vividly, if you could, so we could be inspired to go there ourselves.
Well, you know, one of the most amazing places that I have been to is called the Bosque del Apache, the Woods of the Apache. It is on, of course, the Rio Grande River, and it is a place where hundreds of thousands of migrating birds gather every winter. There are sandhill cranes, which are very prehistoric. There are over 100,000 snow geese. I put this in the book as a sacred event, a sacred place, because if you are there in the wintertime, there is a mass ascension of these birds twice a day. They come together in the evenings, and then they ascend in the morning. And it is, you know, it takes you to a different place.
Also, Christina, in your book, you talk about spend time in solitary spiritual journey, and you even have a solitude rating on the 88 sites, which I thought was fascinating, because I've rated a lot of hotels and restaurants, but I've never thought about giving them a solitude rating. What is it about solitude that factors into your spiritual journeys in New Mexico?
One of the things is that I think that quiet and darkness are two endangered species that no one talks about. And another thing I talk a lot about in this book is darkness as well. But, you know, that silent place where we can sit with just the sounds of nature and let that soul begin to work on us, where we can hear those voices that we can't hear amidst all the chatter of our daily life.
She's been exploring the back roads of the American West for 18 years and counting. Christina Nielsen is our guest, looking at sacred places in New Mexico. She's written memoirs about her life on the road from Alaska to the tip of Baja, including Wild Road Home, Memoirs of an Adventuress. Lately, Christina's parked her RV in the desert outside Tucson, where she often posts thoughts and photos on Facebook. Her website is ChristinaNielsen.com, spelled N-E-A-L-S-O-N. Christina, New Mexico has both a rich pre-colonial history and also a colonial heritage. Talk about the colonial heritage from a sightseeing and a traveler's point of view in New Mexico.
When you are traveling through northern New Mexico, especially, but all over New Mexico, but in the heart of New Mexico, every few miles that you come to beautiful sanctuaries, most of them adobe, red, soft curves, these gorgeous buildings that invite you in. Some of them, the walls are so thick, they're several feet thick, because they were at one time forts when people were settling and there was problems with the Native Americans. These sanctuaries, if you will, you walk into them and there's a quietness because of the thickness of the walls, the adobe. They bring you in and they sit you down in this quiet, soft space. They are every few miles. You could travel throughout New Mexico and just do that and not have anything else on your schedule and fill up many, many weeks.
So you've got the Catholic, Mexican colonial sort of heritage, and then you have the pre-Christian Native American heritage, all mixing it up. Let's talk just for a minute about the early Christian heritage. What are the dates? When do the first conquistadors come in? When do these first Christian missions come in?
You're talking about the 1600s. For the most part, some of them were earlier than that, but those early trade routes started to happen in the 1600s.
So I understand from your book, the oldest shrine to Mary in the United States is right there in Santa Fe.
Yes, the major trade route from Mexico City came up to Santa Fe, and you have these churches there that have actually been filled with accoutrements and carvings that originated in Spain.
How did the Native American culture mix it up with this Catholicism coming in from Mexico? Was it a comfortable fit? Was it a brutal fit? What's your take on that today from what you'd look at as a sightseer?
It was a brutal fit. It was a case of the Spanish coming in through Mexico and overlaying their religion on the natives, which in and of itself was one level, but then you had the level of them taking away the things that were sacred to the natives, like the drum, like the kivas.
Now, what is a kiva? You talked about a kiva in the book. Describe that to our listeners, please.
A kiva is a round, large hole, if you will, in the earth that is various sizes, but it's a circle. It can be 20 feet across. It can be 50 feet across. If you go to Chaco Canyon, you will find kivas there that are just humongous. It is thought that the kivas were the ceremonial places of the Native Americans and that that's where they would go into. Kivas represented they were in the earth dug out, said to represent the womb of the earth.
So as travelers today, we can actually find some of these kivas, and if so, do they have any of their mysticism intact?
They do, especially the ones at Chaco Canyon. Chaco Canyon has hundreds of kivas, and that's why they think in the latest interpretations of Chaco that it was a ceremonial center that peoples came to from hundreds and hundreds of miles, all the way from down to Mexico, all over the Southwest, to do ceremony at Chaco, because they haven't found very many signs of daily life there. No dumping grounds that would normally be in a place like that. But what they have found is many, many kivas and astrological maps and petroglyphs that point to the heavens.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Christina Nielsen, and she's written a book called New Mexico's Sanctuaries, Retreats, and Sacred Places. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Barbara's on the line from Texas. Barbara, thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. I'm just in love with New Mexico myself. I've been there lots and lots of times. I have a place in Ruidosa.
Nice.
Just enjoy everything about the state and exploring all the unbelievable areas there.
So, Barbara, I've been talking with Christina here, and it seems like you can just drive down the road in any which way and come upon these places that are centuries old and have been very important to people long ago and still have a powerful feeling today. What's your experience with that?
I have explored quite a number of those places, and the petroglyphs are just amazing to see. I didn't really know that much about the history of New Mexico, but just in exploring with my family and asking questions and learning about these things, it's really wonderful. Seeing these carvings in stone that these people so many years ago had made, it was their, I think it was probably their way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a novice at this kind of thing. I'm just fascinated.
But they leave kind of mysterious messages to us centuries later. And Christina, what can we learn from a petroglyph?
One of the great things about the petroglyphs, and Barbara, you'll probably agree with this, it's the mystery that's behind them. There are theories about what the petroglyphs are about, but no one really knows. And that, to me, is the heart of what is special about New Mexico. There are so many mysteries everywhere you turn.
Christina, something else that adds to the mix in a very poignant way, I would think, is the fact that there's still a strong, living Native American presence. And they may be Christian, but they would have lots of pre-Christian and their own cultural and religious dimensions to their way of living. How does that add to the mix for a traveler?
Oh, that mix is incredibly strong. Up and down the Rio Grande are pueblos, and every one of the tribal communities has their dances that resonate from the season. The public is invited to go to many of those dances. You can go and you can watch, and it takes you into another world. The outfits people wear, the sound of the drum, the women standing there with their hand-woven blankets in their prince's boots, their white boots, just for ceremony.
Barbara, did you ever stumble upon a ceremony at a pueblo?
Well, not exactly at a pueblo, but I have been to powwows in Albuquerque and places that were just fascinating to see, because the current Native Americans dress in the style that they're historical relatives had, and that is fascinating, the music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christina, yes. are these crass Kodak moment kind of touristic things, or are they actual intimate for real gatherings that tourists are welcome to sit quietly and observe?
I wouldn't call powwows intimate, but they are dance competitions is what they are. So the different tribes come together and they share their dances, and they do this for several days.
Barbara, thanks for your call, by the way. It's great to get your take on this.
I'm enjoying listening.
Yeah.
Thank you, Barbara.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Christina Nielsen. Her book is New Mexico's Sanctuaries, Retreats, and Sacred Places. Now, you said this book is about for all those who seek. What are they seeking?
I think they're seeking a sense of self. One of the things that we do not get a chance to do is to find out who we are outside of our roles, whether that role is mother or father or our professional role. One of the things that travel does is it takes us beyond ourselves to that place where we can find out who we are outside of those roles.
Christina Nielsen, that is a noble crusade in our fast and ever faster world here in the United States of America. Thanks so much, and best wishes with your sharing the importance of finding solitude and sanctuary, specifically in New Mexico.
Thank you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton, Kasra Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Thanks to our colleagues at the Radio Foundation in New York and KNAU in Flagstaff, Arizona, for their help this week. You can listen again on demand and find guest information in the details for each week's show. It's in the radio section of ricksteves.com.